This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to another episode of the Self-Build Plus podcast, where we chat with self-builders, suppliers, and experts about all things home building and renovating in Ireland on both sides of the border. I'm Astrid Mattsson, your host and the editor of Self-Build Magazine. So tonight we're lucky to be joined by Niamh O'Donovan of the Instagram account Passive Build. Hi, Niamh. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Brilliant stuff. So just to introduce the project quickly, yourself and your partner in crime, Mark, built a house in County Waterford that's an upside down house with the living room upstairs to take advantage of the views, is my understanding of that concept. So you guys designed the house yourself, obviously, and you built it, decided to build it to the passive house standard, which is basically a methodology that's fairly commonly used now in Ireland to ensure the house is going to require very little energy to keep warm, but also to keep cool in summer, which hopefully that happened for you when we had the heat wave there. So basically it's super well insulated, super airtight, and has a mechanical ventilation system with heat recovery just to get fresh air in. But the big plus there is that you didn't need to have a central heating system. So that's a big deal there. And the reason for that as well is not only the choice of going passive house, but the fact that you guys were so stringent on site, making sure that it was built to the actual specification, which is obviously key to insulating and making a house airtight. So the topic tonight is direct labor self-builds. So basically not hiring a main contractor, going at it yourself, being brave about it and organizing the entire thing from A to Z. So you've learned so much about the process. You've just launched a new service, I guess we can call it, housegoals.ie, a self-build consultancy for anyone who's kind of a novice really, and you walk them through the steps. So that's a website to check out for anyone who's starting off. But I suppose, Niamh, we'll start off with your reasons to go direct labor as opposed to choosing a main contractor.
Hey, thanks, Astrid. That was a lovely introduction there. So basically, we went with direct labor because my partner, Mark, he had built a house before. So this is actually his second build. Now, his first build was also a self-build, but Mark works in the area. He's an engineer himself, so he had a lot of contacts. And Mark would have great social skills in that he would be a great communicator. So any trades that even if he meets someone at a match or at a run, he would be asking, oh, how are you finding the current climate in building? And he really had the finger on the pulse. So I suppose we had a good confidence going forward in that we also wanted such a high quality finish. We felt that we had to go it alone to really push the standard. We felt that if we went to the builder, we'd be so involved anyway, we may as well go the direct labour route. Now, I'll just finish with that. We we cheated a little bit because we actually went with our timber frame manufacturer would call himself a passive specific timber frame manufacturer. So we didn't have to worry about, I suppose, the structure side of it, because he did the timber frame, the air tightness, and the insulation. But I suppose we had to hand him a perfectly aligned foundations and all the bits that come after that. But it was a great help having someone on board for the timber frame.
So then the design stage, did you involve the timber frame company? Because they would often, if you go with a kit like that, they'd often suggest things to make the building of their product easier for them as well, and make it more cost effective for what they're going to deliver on site.
Absolutely. And I suppose we would have had a lot of meetings before we even went to planning stage with our timber frame builder, because we actually, a friend of ours would use this builder a lot. And when you're going self-build, you have to go on recommendations. Even just building, you have to go with kind of what people would recommend. So we were highly recommended using this timber frame builder. So we would have been talking to him in the very early days of design. And I suppose a passive build, if you're going for the certification, a specific design supports a passive, getting certified passive more than like a big complicated build is harder to get passive rather than a simple build. Now it doesn't mean a build has to be boring, but we would have taken a lot of advice from Shoalwater, the timber frame manufacturer that we used, before we went to like final stage construction drawings. And he would have done all the construction details and everything, because it's manufactured off-site, so it's prefabricated. So we would have had all the window dimensions, we would have had everything finalized before we actually broke ground. And everything would have been ordered. So it's actually a really fast build by going timber. But in saying that, it does mean that there is a little headache, because the funds are so front loaded with, say, a mortgage. You have to pay basically for your timber frame, and you've nothing to show. So do you know the way the banks and an engineer sign off has to prove that maybe the foundation has been laid to release the next set of funds? So it's very front heavy when you're going for a timber frame if it's been prefabricated before you break ground.
So would the bank take that into account? Were the stage payments weighed heavily at the front, like, or was it? Because they do, like, you know, just like 20%, 20%.
I suppose when you're going for a mortgage, you have to, like, first time buyers would you'd have your 90% loan to value, so you'd have to have 10% in savings anyway before it even allow you to get the mortgage. So what we ended up doing was like draining our savings dry before we went to kind of build. So like we'd all our savings used, and our engineer was very good as well to kind of work with us, our sign off engineer. Now I know there is mortgages that are green mortgages and stuff. I don't know much about it. We just went to the standard mortgage. It was a bit of a headache for us. We got our planning permission easy enough, but the mortgage was a pretty long slog. So we were delighted to kind of get anything at all eventually. But yeah, there's ways around it.
Yeah. So when was this? When did you, like, what time period was it?
So we broke ground in January 2020, so just before COVID hit in March. But we would have gotten our planning permission approved, I think it was back in May or June 2019. So between our planning permission and the 2nd of January, so say that 6 month period, we were working with our timber frame manufacturer, we were trying to get our mortgage, and we were really just finalizing all the details. We probably would have had 5 or 6 meetings with the builder before we even broke ground. He would have come to us, or we would have met him halfways and discussed even like window details and all the thresholds and everything. So it was pretty intensive. Even though we say we broke ground on the 2nd of January, we had a lot of the work done before that.
Yeah, and that's the key, obviously, is getting all that legwork done early on. So then, so what did you have to do? So you had, obviously, you have to get planning permission, first and
Yes.
foremost. What's the checklist on that front that you
Yeah, so
had to?
the planning permission, like pretty much Merrick is a checklist of 12 things, because Merrick would have in the recession, Merrick set up his own business of Cliff Civil Engineering. He's not working in it at the moment, but he would have done a lot of planning permissions. That's where he first did the Passive House course. Actually, he did one of the first ones that was launched in Ireland. He was, I suppose he probably has 400 or 500 planning permissions done and put through planning, and he's had a very success approval rate. And we were kind of saying, geez, we'll jinx it now, and we'll probably be, our own house will be the first one we'll get knocked back on. But thankfully, we got it first day. He kind of, yeah, we had our pre-planning meeting. We had all our checklist with paperwork really well dotted and crossed. And I actually, it's my dad's land that we built on. So I was, a daughter of a farmer. So that's kind of a big plus. I know things are kind of changing maybe down the line, but back 2 years ago, we didn't have too much of an issue.
And the planners, I suppose, do give you that a big checklist, and you have to really follow it to the letter. If anything's a bit off, they send it back, or and following the, and going with the planning guidelines kind of thing, I guess, would be the thing to quote them as much as possible from the county development
Exactly. And
plan,
but the
like
thing is,
feed
I
it back to
suppose
them kind of thing.
I would get it a lot. Planning permission and cost per square foot are the two biggest questions I would get on Instagram. And I'd be very honest, like I'm an open book when it comes to costs. I've nothing to hide whatsoever. Because we're all on a journey of trying to make our money go as long and stretch as long as we can and be as prepared as possible. But also with, oh, what was I saying there? Money and oh, sorry, I've lost my train of thought. That's
And
just.
the well with the planning as well is the big thing, and something you've highlighted is
Oh,
the
yes.
development levies or the council
Yeah.
fees or whatever way they call it. But basically,
That's
for them
it.
to the justification, I suppose, would be if you want to have a road in front of your house, public lighting, all these things, you have to contribute towards that as a developer would. So it
Yes.
is a for the one-off house fee, but it can be very high as well.
It's crazy.
Yours wasn't too bad though, from memory, I think.
No, ours was 9,000 euro. So when you look at
What?
it and you kind of
All
ask, what
right.
are we getting for
Okay.
that? You would question. Whereas
Right. I didn't
up in Mayo,
realize.
I think it's like 700 euro. So that's where the difficulty lies, I think, with planning, is because every county has their own development plan, and it can be totally different. And each county can be on their own kind of, they're at their own stage. So one county might be like, do you know what, it's quite easy, like we want people building in County Waterford, but maybe we don't want people building in Wicklow on this road, and it changes all the time. So it's very difficult to keep up and for people to know what to kind of expect year on year with planning.
Thankfully, the planning process, at least that's fairly straight, not too expensive and fairly straightforward. We'll say there's a good checklist and feed them back what they, what they want to hear kind of thing a little bit. And then
Absolutely.
I suppose the next thing is the commencement notice, isn't it? That's the next step. Once you get your grant of planning, you have to wait a little bit, make sure no
So
objection, that kind of thing.
planning takes 8 weeks, and then you have a 4 week objection period that any members of your locality might object. And then once you pass with no objections, then if you were to be as quick as possible, then you have 2 weeks to get in your commencement notice to break ground. And as well, if you're going self-build, you'll need to get your site insurance sorted, which is about 15 to 2 grand, 1,500 to 2,000 euro. Yeah, there's a lot.
Which isn't mandatory, but it's quite important, because if someone trespasses and breaks a leg or something, you could be liable as well.
So absolutely, yeah. And you know, even just having your site sealed off and having maybe even just signage up, like even just COVID signs, because the HSA inspector, you know, that's their job to find sites that are not being compliant. So you know, little things can really add headaches to your build. But if you know, throw up a sign saying COVID regs. COVID situation, whatever, you know, when COVID hit, we had to buy a few COVID signs and stick them up to show that we were compliant. Because as self-builders, effectively, you're the builder, you know, you are, you're over your site. So, you know, you kind of need to make sure that you're ticking all the boxes.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And health and safety, there's forms as well that you have to put together a plan, upload. It's as part of kind of the commencement notice process, but it's separate. You have to go on the Health and Safety Authority website and upload your risk assessment, basically, for both design and construction. So that can be a cost as well. Yeah,
and print that out, I would say, and have it in a folder and like have it in the back of the car, so that like should you get a HSA inspection, you can throw it at them and that quietens them fairly quick.
And the hard hats and the steel cap toe boots and things.
Yeah, have them in the car, you know, just because like when we started and I was throwing pictures up on Instagram, I was worried that like when I was going around in the height of June and it was roasting hot in shorts and a t-shirt lifting blocks or whatever, I was like, oh God, we're going to get a visit. But thankfully we didn't have any. But I have heard of a few visits, but they probably play ball, you know, they probably give you a warning and then say kind of, you know, we'll be back in a few weeks.
And in fairness, they're there to make sure the site is safe and everyone wants it safe. Like, so you don't want people falling off scaffolding or anything. Like, it has to be done right at the end of the day. Yeah. So then I suppose the site prep and all that kind of stuff, was there a lot to do at the start for you? Sometimes it can take a bit to
luckily enough, we had a flat enough site, and there's a slight slope. So we didn't have any like breaking of rock, or we didn't have any retention walls. We did just break through the ditch to make an access point and dug it out and just got a lot of 804 down to make the site. We were really proud of having a tidy site throughout the build. So we just made sure that the trucks were able to come and go quite easily with their loads. And, you know, we were very honest to try and keep our site as tidy as we could in regards having ton bags and having rubbish kind of clearly labelled for when people are there to kind of segregate their rubbish as best as we could.
And so the storage areas and things like I suppose you can't just, because you also need electricity and water, things like that.
Electricity, we thought it was a good investment maybe to buy a generator, so we got a good generator and that serviced us until we got our electricity turned on, so that was a massive plus for us. And then in regards water, we connected up to the local farm supply here, which just happens to be my dad. And then for storage on site, then we got a container, the storage shipping containers. We bought a second-hand one for €2,000 and we kept all our stuff in it, and we just got a toilet as well. So as self-builders, you have to have humanitarian facilities, so we got our toilet just support to do.
Did you get a kettle? Did you get a kettle for the big tea?
No, actually, don't be saying that now, but some of the lads, our foundation lads arrived one day and like they had the frying pan and everything in the back of the van, like
Make a little camper thing.
They had a little guest thing, and they had their fried eggs in the morning.
Fair play to them. That's great.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So what do you do with the shipping container? Do you have it in the garden now? Or
we actually said we'd hold on to it and use it as a kind of a garage rather than building a garage. So it's a great purpose. And same as like we lived in a mobile home for the 2 years. I just feel like, you know, we can sell it on then. You know, if we wanted to sell it on, it would mean we mightn't lose too much on it. And it was just a practical kind of answer to a kind of a need that was there that we needed to solve pretty quick.
Yeah, so 100%. Yeah. So you were living on a camper in the camper van on the site itself. So you were there. Yeah, you were doing security basically by living there in a way.
Yeah, well, we weren't right next to the site. We were just a little bit down the road, which was massive as well, because every evening we'd check in on it and be kind of very much visible on site. My family live around anyway, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's handy. So then, the stage of the foundation guys that you were talking about with the eggs, so what was organized there? Did they, like, even for the cement mixers? And
that was a big pressure on Mark, because I suppose the fact that the timber frame is prefabricated and, like, you can't make changes. Do you know, you have to get it bang on right. So we went through the passive raft type foundation, and this whole passive foundation was very new to Ireland. So we didn't even have anyone to really consult with much. But we went with Kingspan for the styrofoam, the Aero board, for the foundations, and like there's like denser bits and stuff. And we did find that, like, the lads that did the foundations, we had to ask Kingspan to send an engineer to teach the lads because it was new to them. So I suppose it's an investment for Kingspan, because they're kind of like getting their product out there. That, you know, this hopefully will be a new thing. We actually did, my sister built at the same time as us, and she did kind of a strip foundation. And we were kind of saying that, like, maybe there's very little in the difference. So in regards just to put it down, but we reckon like long term, obviously a passive foundation, having all the thermal bridging covered and all your kind of loads done properly, it'll save massive in the future. So we were delighted with that. But again, it was a massive headache for Mark, because all the pipes had to be exactly placed into the foundation, like millimeter precision. But the lads had good fun with the styrofoam, getting, you know, it was kind of a new thing that they said it's the future, like, because it's just so easy to do. It's light, it's, you know, there's no back breaking, lifting blocks or pouring like massive, like, carbon loaded concrete, like, into the ground. So, like, I still wouldn't be a fan of the styrofoam. I do think that the manufacturers need to offer some sort of more sustainable policy, because we did have a lot of leftover styrofoam that was kind of cut off and stuff, and that all went to landfill. So I was a bit I was trying to hold on to some of it, saying, sure, could I put it at the bottom of flower beds and to prevent frost in the future and stuff, to try and think of more sustainable ways of using it. Whereas at least the timber frame, we did find like timber is a natural insulator, and, you know, it is an eco kind of friendly product. So that was the foundation.
Yeah. So then, in terms of organizing it, was the you had a guy with a digger, or was it just like one kind of company that organized it, or did you have to get the digger guy and then
we got a groundwork guy, and he would work very closely with the lads that kind of helped us. So the groundwork guy came out and dug it all out. And the thing with a Rathstone foundation is there's actually no digging down. So it was a very easy, he just came and he just leveled it off with a kind of a grader. Is it called a bobcat? And it kind of has millimeter precision. So like the total level site got a bit of dust. And then the actual, the Kingspan aero board or whatever it's called, that just kind of lays on top of it then with different densities, and you have the pipes sticking up from it. So we did have to get the plumber actually down at that stage because he put in the ventilation system into the ground. Our groundwork guy did
the ventilation in the ground, was it?
Yeah, the pipes, so the pipes were put into the foundation system. No, you're getting a bit technical for me, Astrid, here now.
Just because is the plant room's out is in a garage or something, or is it in the house where you have your ventilation?
The plant room is part of our airtight envelope, so it's part of the house. And in that, we just have our mechanical ventilation heat recovery system, which also has a water tank with it, our electrical works, and just kind of all our cables brought back and stuff like that. We had the plumber on site and the groundwork guy, and then our blocky as such did the foundations with us to get it over.
Yeah, and with Mark marked out all the positions, and that's where the stress is, to make sure you have it right, because it's all on you, like, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about poor Mark. Like, Mark could be millimeter precision and so, like, and as an engineer, he's handy at using levels
Yeah, he knew what he was doing, like, but it's still on you, like, it is responsibility. So you have your foundations in, so the next phase is to receive your kit, isn't it? Or what? You'd already had your windows sorted at this stage, I presume, and how you were going to build the roof and
everything,
stuff.
Everything was ordered, like, before we even broke ground, we had the windows ordered. So we got a little bit delayed with the timber frame just because we were managing with the mortgage and stuff like that. So we got pushed back just a little bit. So the timber frame started, and within kind of a week, the timber frame was up. But then the pressure was on, and we didn't realize COVID was going to hit so hard. But thankfully, the Friday afternoon that the COVID, like the big first lockdown, that like there was nobody on the street, that evening, like just like an hour before the news start broke of the big lockdown, we got the roof on and slates on and sealed, so we were watertight. So that was massive, because that would have literally delayed us a good bit. So the timber frame flew up, we had cranes on site, it all went in, and the outside exterior walls went in first, and then the interior walls, and then the roof, and we literally slated and felt the roof.
Got a roofer in for that, or was that with the
did,
timber?
Yeah.
It was so separate then.
The roof was part of it, was part of the package with the timber frame, but
okay,
we got a
great
roofer to do the slates and the fascia soffits and the downpipes and stuff like that. But again, like it's just about talking to the trades and be like, is like, what can you do for us? Like, and how, like, what's your availability? And like, Mark didn't know everything. Like, so communication was a huge part of kind of getting everything kind of planned out.
And why didn't they slate it for you if they offered to build the roof? The timber frame company didn't have that as a service. So was it dearer to get them to do it as opposed to you guys organizing?
I don't think they do that. Like, we didn't, the timber frame company, we actually built timber frame house, but we wrapped it in a block. So there's blocks, there's one layer of blocks all around the house. And like the block, we got a separate block layer to do that.
Why did you go with that? Because why did you choose to put block? Is it for, was it for planning, or was it just you wanted to have the blocks outside?
Yeah, I know, we were just talking about the Irish block mentality. We just felt that it's a nice finish on a house. We have the stone and we have the zinc as well added. So we didn't want a crazy, like, futuristic kind of house. We kind of wanted to just keep it simple. So we just felt that the block was a nice addition.
Yeah, yeah. So you obviously had a block layer then separately to the contract to come and put that up for you then. Yeah.
So the block layer pretty much came kind of once COVID kind of settled down. He came and started throwing up the blocks. Then once the blocks were done, we added a layer of kind of stone, natural stone as well. So we have the natural stone, and then we have the natural slates above, which the roofer did. And then we had a separate trade that did the zinc box window and did a bit of cedar as well. And then you went at once to joinery for the windows. So we have a lot of windows in the house. And I suppose, chassis side of things, I suppose, we went to the Munster Joinery future-proof triple glazed windows. When you're designing a passive house, you have to put the design of the house into PHPP software. So it's similar to BER, but BER would be more like that's your building regs at the moment, your ABC rated homes, and it kind of... The difference between, like, we are going in the right direction, I think, to get homes better, but say BER doesn't consider your heating demand. So as you said at the start, we have no central heating system here. So we actually save thousands by not doing that. So we calculated...
And thousands on putting in the system itself, yeah.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So we the PHPP told us exactly that we only had a 3.2 kilowatt heat demand in the house. So we actually didn't need to go to the expense of putting in underfloor heating or air to water or anything like that. So our actual ventilation, Nilan, is a compact system. So it actually has a heating element, which is similar to a heat pump. So it's like an air to water mini little unit in our system. And it also has the ventilation and it all. And with ventilation, you have to kind of calculate the size of your house to make sure that your system is working, like it's kind of marrying, like if we went any bigger with the house, we're 3,050 square foot. If we went any bigger, we would have had to get a second system because it literally, we were at the limit with the system we had because it's all done on like these calculations. So we knew exactly our figures going into the build. The ventilation system we have as well has a little cooling element. So every ventilation system, a lot of them have a summer bypass and that's okay, but it doesn't really kind of cool as such. So we have a little bit of cooling, but it does not deal with the intense heat you do get that we got a while ago. And I know in Ireland we're obsessed with heating houses, but in actual fact, Ireland doesn't have a cold climate. We have a very neutral climate here in Ireland. So we don't get extremes, hot and cold. So it's perfect for a passive house. When we did our calculations, we had the original design with 38% overheating need. And we were like, Jesus. So we pulled out like the south facing Velux and we added in the breeze lay, which is basically like just a peak cap over some of the south and east facing glazing. And that then stops the intense sun coming in and you still get the light. So it just kind
did
of...
Did it work?
We don't have the breeze lay in yet. It's the okay. Next project. But we did find with the design and with the bit of kind of active cooling that we had in our ventilation system, we were sleeping soundly at night with windows closed there during the hot period where all our friends were like in high 20 degree heat and windows open. A ventilation system, as everyone probably knows here, like if you have 28 degrees outside, it is bringing in 28 degrees into your house. It's just purified and lovely and pure. It's still hot. So I think, you know, we have a lot to learn here in Ireland. We're still kind of learning and we're doing our best, but there is a lot to it. So the passive, we don't have overheating. We have solar gain, but it's manageable. So hence why it's a very, like a passive house. I often get asked, what's a passive house? It's a low energy build. That's what it is. So like by dealing with thermal bridging, by dealing with your solar gains and you don't have massive overheating, like a passive house, it won't get certified if it has overheating issues. So that's a big difference between that and BER. And then as well, it's all manageable. in regards to costs. You don't have, like, if we were just going BER, we probably would have thought naturally we need to put in underfloor heating. We have a big house, it's going to be hard to heat. But when you do the calculations, it actually doesn't need to be put in. So yeah. And a BER is about, I think, like, you know, it's a different, maybe between about €1,000 between if you do a PHPP calculation or if you do a BER calculation. And I'm not dissing BER at all. It does have a lot of merits, and we're definitely going in the right direction. But we still have another bit to go.
Yeah, and I suppose you have to do the BER calculations, as you said, because that is to prove compliance with the regs. So that's something you have to do, and then to actually, yeah, and then the PHPP is kind of a specialist design software which actually delivers as you explained. That's great. And just to finish, kind of direct labor tips, advice, what would be kind of the main things that you would tell someone? I suppose keeping the site tidy is a huge thing, as you said, waste management a big deal as well, because there are a lot of costs associated to these things. Tidying up after the trades, I guess, things like that. I don't know. Are there any specific things that you would tell a friend that would self-build or?
Yeah, definitely take ownership of your house. I would say if you're starting off in this journey, like, work hard, you know, research everything, throw yourself into it. If the more you do, the better your results will be. So, like, buy the magazines, like, join these lives. You're going to learn a lot. So I would say, like, really just full-heartedly enter into this process of building. If you're not willing to, I would say buy a house and just do it up nice. But if you really want a high quality forever home, like, just dive into it. Get your hands dirty, be on site cleaning it. Absolutely, like, you know, make it your own, and with a good design. Like, at the design stage, you can do so much. Once you kind of start construction, you're tied. You know, you've kind of laid out your stall. It's hard to make changes, and changes cost money. So definitely, you mightn't think you've started this build because you haven't broke ground. When you break ground, you're in the second half of the build already. The first half, like the first, say, year that you're designing your house, you're looking at what your budget is. And just with budget, mind your cash flow. Don't be paying out just because you have a lovely big mortgage and you've loads of savings. Hold on to every single penny and only pay what you have to pay out on the build. Don't be paying for your kitchen when you haven't even done foundations. So
some things require deposits, but yeah, never pay things in advance, I suppose. So much to talk about. But listen, Niamh, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thanks a million, Astrid. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a million. You too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Join us next time for more tips and advice from experts and self-builders alike. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Self-Build Plus. It'll give you full access to the selfbuild.ie website, including the Self-Build Plus journey, which is your step-by-step guide to self-building and home improving. Your membership also gives you first access to all videos and podcasts, as well as access to our members-only Facebook group, which features regular Facebook Live events.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.